You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 60, Floors and Ceilings.
This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be.
All right, you guys, we are in for a very special treat today on our podcast. Last week, Karin had the lovely Paige Anderson on talking all about dyslexia, and I am so excited to have the very lovely Brooke Snow on the podcast today. So Brooke, why don't you give us a quick rundown of kind of who you are?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be able to talk about our topic for today. I am a habits and identity coach. That's a little bit different than like a life coach, which is much more common term around here. What I do with people is help understand how the daily habits in our life can shape our identity to help us be able to accomplish our goals in our life. And I got started with that in the past couple of years. I've always been interested in self-help and personal development. I have a really strong faith in Jesus Christ, and I love to be able to bring Christian gospel into self-help and see how do they support each other. And so that's a particular fun angle that I like to take in all the things that I do, is marrying those two pieces together and being able to find the doctrine of the gospel that supports the self-help principles that I love to teach other people. And really, if I was to boil down my message to people, it has to do with identity, and it has to do with the power of consistency, the power of really small things. That's why I bring in those habits, you know, being an identity and habits coach, that the very small things that we do every day form our image of ourselves, like who we think we are. And so the small things matter a lot. They compound, they add up. And if we can find a way to be consistent and to be able to implement and install really healthy habits into our life, that is a sustainable way to make the progress that we all hope for.
That is awesome. And so you also are, is part of, I know you have your 40-day meditation program, but in part of your other coaching, is the meditation a part of that aspect as well?
Meditation is my number one habit of the day. So it goes into everything. I do have a mentoring program where we work on identity and habits, and one of those habits is meditation. It's okay. Just so important for like everything. It's helpful for us to be able to calm down, to be able to deal with anxiety and overwhelm, to be able to, for me, meditation is very much it's a form of prayer. The way that I teach meditation is a Christian-based way. So it's not so much like an Eastern style of empty your mind and think of nothing. It's more so, how can I really reflect upon truth, gospel truth, eternal truth, and how can I co-create my life with God? How can I take the goals that I'm working on, the challenges that I have, the trials that I have, the questions that I have, how can I bring that into a meditation experience and be able to move forward in all of those different areas? And so that's the number one most important habit of all is that one. But there's lots of other little things that play into importance as well. Like even fundamental habits, like get enough sleep, go to bed, like have boundaries around your technology, move your body, eat well, like all of those basic things too. But presence is one of those fundamental habits, which we learn in meditation, and that has a profound effect upon our identity and who we believe we are, and really connecting with that true highest self of who we are as well.
That's awesome. I actually had purchased Brooke's meditation program, and I have not missed a day, and it has been life-changing. Yay! Like so life-changing. And so she's been sweet enough. She has her I Love and Accept You meditation she's allowed me to add to my membership. So it's just that part, but trust me, her 40-day meditation guide has so much more that you'll definitely want to check that out as well. All right, so let's dig in. So I started stalking Brooke through her podcast, and I happened to listen to an episode about floors and ceilings, and it completely rocked my world. So I want you to tell the listeners kind of what are floors and ceilings.
Yes. I love talking about this because it rocked my world too, and it changed everything. And all of us are really good at, you know, creating goals, I think, or maybe even having ideals of how we think we should be or how things should go. We don't have any problem with that. But actually making things happen or making progress or being consistent, especially, is probably one of the most challenging parts of moving forward in anything. We all know that, oh, we could eat better, we could be in better shape, or like we can set these goals that are really perfectionistic and idealistic. And when we aren't able to attain what we think we're supposed to be doing on a certain day because of, you know, life happens, then we just don't do it. It's kind of an all or none thing. And I think a lot of us can easily fall into that mode of thinking. And so I would define what I call a ceiling as what that ideal is. That is your ideal perfect goal. This is what you can do if you're feeling motivated and you're feeling healthy and you're feeling like energetic and inspired. You can totally do what it takes that day to be able to make progress to that level. But we don't feel that way every day, right?
Right.
What about when you're up all night with a sick child and you didn't get a lot of sleep, or you have a lot of things happening on your plate that day? What do you do on a day like that? What do you do if you're not feeling good? What if you're kind of under the weather or something like that, or you're not motivated, and maybe you're struggling with depression or anxiety or something like that? What do you do on days like that where it's like, it feels impossible for me to be able to get to the ceiling today? And so what I have found is it is very helpful to be able to establish what is called a floor. Before I go into that, let me just bring in one more thing. When we're talking about ceilings, if this is all you have in life, it is a really hard place to live. It is really, really, really hard place to live because there's nothing to support it. But when we bring in a floor offers support. A floor is actually the minimum version. It is a tiny version. It is the minimum requirement. It is something that you could do, and that particular thing that you could do it even if you're not feeling motivated, if you don't have a lot of time, if you're not feeling super great that day, you could still do a floor. Because the important part is to be consistent, right? Everything is built with a consistency towards something. And so a floor, let me give you an example. I took up running last year, and it was like major life change for me because I pretty much hated running for more than 30 years. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? I was in a coaching program, and one of the requirements for graduation was to run a Spartan race. And it was a big deal to basically institute this whole new habit into my life. And so the ceiling was, I need to be able to run 3 miles. Like, that's a ceiling. There's no way I could even if I was feeling super inspired, motivated, on fire on day one, I still couldn't have done that on day one, but that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
And so I needed to start somewhere. For me, I needed a floor. I'm like, I know the only way I can get there is if I can consistently show up every day to do it, but what is the tiny version? And so for me, the tiny version was simply, I'm going to put on my shoes and I'm going to walk out to the trail. The trail happens to be like 20 seconds from my back door. I'm really lucky to live in a beautiful place next to a trail. And so that was it. And so day one, I got my shoes, I walk out to the trail, and I'm like, I totally won. I am a winner. Like, I did my minimum version. This is amazing. And then, like, from there, I'm like, okay, I'm going to actually try some running. I'm going to run from here to the big tree. And so that's all I did that day, was run from here to the big tree, which was, I don't know, 20 yards or something like that.
Right.
And I just worked up from there. Gradually my endurance was able to increase. I was able to, with the help of affirmations, learn to love running. It was a very big identity shift for me. But that's the point of being able to have a floor and a ceiling, is that there's a minimum thing that you can do to show up in that thing, whatever it is, whatever goal, whatever project, whatever good habit that you're trying to install into your life. If there's a minimum, that makes it possible for you to do something. Now, there's a really amazing thing that starts to happen when you can be consistent in showing up. And that is that you start to reframe the identity that you have of who you are. Suddenly, I went from not being a runner to I am a runner. And I had all this evidence that had accumulated because every single day I went out. And even if it was only running from like the start of the trail to the big tree, I was a runner because I did that every single day. I had all this evidence. And oftentimes we give up because we don't have evidence. We don't give things enough time for evidence to actually gather. And we've got this disconnect between this goal and who we actually are being and who we want to be. There's like a gap between those two. And so when we can have a very simple, small, minimum way of showing up, that's really going to be able to help us to gather the evidence that, oh, maybe I am a runner, or maybe I am a meal planner, or maybe I am somebody that can keep up on laundry or housework or whatever it is. Like, is there a minimum effort that you can do that will help you build that identity and be able to be consistent in things? So I will pause right there. There's more I could say about that, but that is the definition of floors and ceilings.
It was interesting. After I listened to that episode, I realized areas in my life where I have created those good habits that I want to keep, I had a floor, right? And so it's like, well, I did this today. So my house is like, that's fantastic. It's clean, or, you know, just because I made a floor with it. But it was interesting on areas where I had yet to master, like my diet. I realized I only had ceilings. Mm-hmm. And so I told myself a floor for food is to eat one real piece of fruit or vegetable every day.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we went camping this last weekend, and you're not as great, you know, when you're camping and you don't have like your blender to make a smoothie and you don't have some of those things. But I can eat a clementine. That's super easy to pack that, or carrot sticks, or whatever. And so it's been interesting as my identity's like, yeah, I always get in fruits and veggies. That my identity is starting to shift. Like, yeah, I am super healthy.
Yes.
So that's really fun.
One thing I would add too in creating a floor is to think small and then go even smaller. Like, most people struggle in the small part. They're like, they lower it a little bit, but they don't realize that, oh, I can actually lower it a lot. Like, literally something that you can do on even the most challenging of days. I'll give one more example. I gave myself the challenge in 2018 that I was going to do yoga every single day of the year. And the point of it was to be consistent. The point wasn't like, I'm going to do 1 hour every day, and by the end of the year, I could do a headstand and it'll be amazing.
Yeah.
The point was to be consistent. And so for me, my floor was 3 cat cows. I think that probably takes like 5 seconds to be able to do. And I did it. Yeah. Like, I reached the end of the year, I'm like, I'm totally a yogi. Like, I do yoga every day. And truth be told, like, I did yoga every day. I at least did those 3 cat cows. It didn't matter if we were traveling, if I was staying in a room, like in a hotel with all my family, if I didn't get a lot of sleep that night, if I wasn't feeling really great, it didn't matter. I could always do my floor. And that's the point of a floor right there, is to help build in the consistency, because consistency is where the progress happens. And so I just encourage people, in when you are looking for what is my floor, think small and then go even smaller. And really quick, I also want to talk about what is between a floor and ceiling, right? Because sometimes people can think like it's all or none. It's the ceiling or it's the floor. But there's actually a lot of space in between a floor and a ceiling. And I had a friend listen to my Floors and Ceilings podcast, and she called me up and she's like, I found out what's between a floor and ceiling. Like, really? What is that? She's like, stairs. There's stairs between a floor and ceiling. And I loved that imagery, you know, that, yeah, like I can at least do my floor. And if I'm feeling more capable that day, like, what's the next step? And what's the next step? And what's the next step? Just like me going out to the trail, like, I already won. I got there. That was my floor, is just to put on my shoes and go out to the trail. Maybe the next step up was run to the big tree. And once I get there, maybe what's the next step after that? Most of us will find that we have, once we get in motion, that we can actually do more than just the floor, but we so often stop ourselves because of just having a ceiling. And so that really helps to get the momentum going to be able to make progress, and so that we can have the consistency we need to move forward.
That's awesome. So Brooke has children. How many children do you have?
I have two. I have a 10-year-old boy and 5-year-old girl.
Oh, fun. And she just became a homeschooler with the rest of the world.
I did.
During the pandemic. So how is that going? How did that go? I guess it's summertime now.
We are in summer for us. It was wild to get thrown into that. I have a deeper appreciation of teachers and homeschool moms who have made that choice on their own to be able to do that. It was a shakeup. It was a shakeup to our ritual. It was a shakeup to our habits. I think it is that way with probably anyone. All of a sudden you're doing a job that you didn't have before. But I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I would. There were actually some great things that came out. I felt more involved in what my children were learning and kind of understood like what they're doing well at and what they're not doing as well at. I became a more involved parent, which for me was a really good thing.
Yeah. I joked because so my seventh baby was this total shock. He's a big space from everybody else. And we were for reals done this time. And, so anybody who knows me well knows when I got pregnant, I shut down. Like emotionally, mentally, I was like, I'm going to have seven children. I didn't want to face people at the store, but I still had 9 months to mentally prepare for this baby. Yeah. And you guys, it's almost like we don't want another, we're not going to have another baby, but surprise, knock on the door. Here's your brand new baby.
Yeah. Like Friday you find out and Monday you're a teacher.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's rough because most moms, when they're going to homeschool, they've researched it. They've done some stuff. So kudos to all you moms that got thrown into this craziness. But that's why I kind of wanted to talk about with floors and ceilings with homeschool is because I think a lot of moms get into homeschooling and they have these high expectations of whether they have one child, seven children, 10 children, they have these high expectations of I need to do school with each kid individually and I need to connect with them and I need to have this gourmet dinner every night and laundry and house cleaning. And I realized I had a floor for my own homeschool and I just didn't have a name for it, right? So I think that that's a beautiful idea. So did you find, as you were doing it, what were some floors for you in your homeschool?
Well, our public school really helped to kind of establish the floor. They said, this is required and this is not required. This is extra. And for us, it was like, we're only doing what's required. Like this is such a new thing and we're learning all together, figuring this out. And so for us, it was, we only did the required work for the most part. But I'm curious to know for you, like what is your floor that you established for homeschool?
Mine is, I love scripture study. Like that always happens. And my read aloud. Mm. And so we have, so my kids range from 18 down to 3. And so we have adapted throughout the years, right? When we were all doing school together and now their school looks a little bit sporadic and different. But scripture time in the morning is really important to me. And then we'll eat breakfast, do our chores and whatnot. And if I can just do read aloud, then I'm like, I'm winning. I've won today.
Yeah, I love that. And let me just point out what you said too, because I think it's really important. I mean, you said, I'm winning. I did this. I think we need so many more opportunities where we feel like we have won, you know? That's the other problem with only having a ceiling is that it's almost like you don't win very often. Mm-hmm. It's a really easy way to get discouraged, to have low self-esteem, to feel like I'm just not measuring up, I'm not enough in da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, so many things because there's only a ceiling. But as soon as you can put that floor in, you're like, I totally won. Look at me. I'm awesome. Like I did this much. Anything above this is a bonus. And it really helps to create more confidence, more momentum, more energy towards being able to do more than that. So that's been, I think that's a really important thing that you bring out there. You know, you won, your kids won, everybody won. You did that much. Hooray. Celebrate it.
Yeah. Well, I think it was cute because we do school in the summer. We're taking this week off and then we'll start again next week. And so we do our scriptures and our read aloud, and then that's all I teach. And the rest I just put onto my kids. If they do their math, their private scripture reading, studying, and a literature book, and if they have language arts. And it was interesting. I had somebody comment like, what? That's my regular school season. But I think, but that's great that you're still doing that, because I have 12 years of experience. Mm-hmm. And so, and I also have like worked really hard to create independent learners. And so I do have the 3-year-old, but then the rest are 9+. So I've helped them develop those habits of like, okay, you do math by yourself, you read by yourself, and then they check in with me every day. And like, we're always winning. And so it's interesting, because then what does my husband see? It's like, we did great with school today, this attitude of like, yeah, we got so much done. Because I think that's another problem, is that a mom's thinking she doesn't do enough. And then husband comes home and she's like, I don't do enough. And he gets worried, like, our kids, what's going to happen with our children? We're going to get behind. We're going to have all these things happen. And then you have some husbands wondering, like, maybe you're not doing enough, because you're creating this identity of always this lacking mentality.
Yes. Oh, wow. That's super huge. I love that you've made that connection and that you can see all of the ripple effect of like,
right,
how it goes out from there.
Yeah. Well, it's just awesome to see. And obviously I get to look at it through the perspective of doing it for so many years. Right. And going through the experience of my husband going, are you okay? Like, that's a lot, right, of kids that you're doing, yeah, this with. And are you, can, do you have this? And so I just love the idea of the floor, especially because I know a lot of moms have now decided to homeschool in the fall. And just saying, okay, here are the basics, especially when they're so little. Like, you have your cute 5-year-old, right? Like, what does a 5-year-old really need to know? They need to know, like, mom and dad love you. God loves you. Like, the world's a beautiful place. You can be a light. And you know what I mean? And go and explore nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's kind of this beautiful, just like, that's all I need to do. And I don't need to cram. My 5-year-old doesn't need to know their times tables.
Right.
Or doesn't need to read the Odyssey. Or
right. Yes.
Like all these intense things, right?
Right.
So did you ever have a ceiling with your homeschool that you tried to do?
I think my ceiling was probably just that we would get all of our work done. And that I think I kind of set a ceiling for other people's behavior. And I have realized I can't really do that, right?
Like,
yeah. We will not only do it all, we will be happy and joyful and like not get mad or fight or anything like that. And so I think I had to really learn to allow everyone to have their own experience, and everyone's going to have their good days and their bad days, and they have their emotions, and they, to be able to work with that and to not expect, you know, that ceiling of expectation of just probably the emotional side of it, I think was an important discovery for me, that it wasn't just about doing the work, but it's real people doing work, and it's like real children and a real mother. And we are dimensional people who also have feelings and emotions, and sometimes those can get a little messy, and that's okay. It's like part of life. And to be able to allow those things to happen rather than resisting any moment that is not perfect, I think was really helpful for me.
Yeah, that's interesting, because it's funny, because so I try to be on social media. It's not my favorite thing, but I'm trying to get information out there, right? But I don't take pictures of our homeschool really very often, and because it feels fake or feels staged. But I also, I maybe something time, and I wouldn't want to do it if my kid was upset, but like, I've had children rip up books. Like, I don't like language arts, and I think it's the worst. It's like, okay, we're going to take a break today, maybe for a week, you know? And so maybe people need to see that more too, that like, my kids aren't always like, yay, learning. We do have our moments, right? And those are beautiful and wonderful, but they're definitely like strong personalities sometimes of like, math is the worst and I'll never use this in my whole entire life. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe some of this you will.
Well, and what better schooling to be able to have in that moment than how do we work through anger, and how do, yeah, we work through uncomfortableness and not wanting to do something that we need to do? Like, how do we work through that? That's probably even more valuable than learning the times tables, right?
Yeah. That's what, so in my program, probably if you aren't familiar with it, I teach levels of liberty, right? And so I want them to master skills in finances, emotions, mental, physical, spiritual, and social. Mm. And so our whole homeschool is centered around that. that yes, you're learning to read, and yes, you're learning to do your math and language arts, right? But during the school year, I love to add in those other concepts of like, I wasn't included with something. Is it the end of the world? Was it like intentional? Like, ooh, I don't want to invite Brooke. Everybody make sure we don't invite Brooke. Or can I step back and say, oh, sometimes like maybe they were only allowed to invite five people. Maybe, you know what I mean? And helping them learn to conquer those areas in their life. And so when they leave my home, because my oldest is preparing for a mission, that they have this backpack full of skills, like that I can financially pay my bills and do those things. But emotions, I think, are a huge part, because if you're set off all the time, and I think homeschool, you can easily do that with siblings there all day, of having that skill, I think, is beautiful to be able to teach that to your children.
Yeah. That's amazing. I'm actually considering continuing homeschool. So I'm glad to know that you have all these resources.
That was one of my questions, or if you wanted to maybe do it in the fall. What are your thoughts with it?
Currently, we have a charter school that I love, and I feel like it's an amazing support, and my kids have good friends there, and I've just been so impressed with the policies of the school and the way the methods they use to teach. If going back, there is a lot of requirements, like teachers need to wear masks and kids need to wear masks, and we're going to be spaced 6 feet apart, and there's all this social distancing at school. To me, that sounds psychologically just horrible to like be in an environment like that every day. I want learning to be something that feels safe and that isn't distanced, right?
Yeah.
And so like just kind of judging and seeing how things go forward with that. If that's the case, then we're probably gonna try homeschool. So the seed has been planted in my heart. Yeah. And I do have more confidence, like having been thrown into it. I'm like, oh, this is actually, I wouldn't say easier than I thought, but I will say I learned that, oh, I could do this. I actually can. Like, I proved to myself that whole consistency thing, right? Like, I have evidence of 2 months or what? 2.5 months. I have evidence that I can do that for 2.5 months. So, this is a possibility to really consider. And I became more invested. Like, I became more invested in their learning. And so I started to consider more of that possibility. So it's not off the table. We'll just have to see going forward what happens.
That's exciting. And it's funny, I actually did a post the other day about kind of the identity, because I am a runner. So when I listened to your podcast talking about running, I just like, it was endearing to me, right? Yay. Because I'm like, I'm a runner. Like, I run. And if I don't feel well, I figure out a way to get as quick as soon as possible to get in a run. And if we're on vacation, I run. And so making that identity with homeschool. Like, even if I'm not feeling well, what is my floor? Like, I can totally read aloud and then fall right back asleep.
Yeah.
Like, we can listen to a general conference talk for scriptures that day and just have them be right around me. Right. But like, so having that identity as a homeschool mom, and then having that floor of just like, yeah, I'm a homeschool mom and this is what we do.
Right.
And I can work and I can run the house and I can teach my kids these things, because that's the identity you've created for yourself.
And you have floors, so you can have lots of wins and you can
Yes. Be
confident in moving forward.
Yeah. So I want to let people know where they can find out more about you. So if somebody wants to learn more about you, Brooke, where should they go?
You can go to my podcast is a great place on iTunes, the Brooke Snow Podcast. And I have a website at brooksnow.com. I have a couple free classes that people can sign up for there that are really awesome to be able to take as well.
Yeah. And she has the 40-day meditation. I found that because I wanted to do a Christian version. So I had asked some of my friends and they said, oh, you have to do Brooks. So that's life-changing. And then you also have a book.
Oh yeah, I do.
I'm reading it right now. It's great.
Oh, yay. Yeah. You can find that on Amazon. It's called Living in Your True Identity. How to discover and embrace and develop your own divine nature. And I think it's an amazing book. It has 21 tools, basically to help you live life as the best version of yourself. And the main premise of the book is that you have two identities, And one is true and one is false. In scripture, we would refer to that your true nature would be your divine nature, and your false identity would be the natural man, the flesh, the ego, referred to in scripture that way. And we don't really like get into detail very much and like talking about how there's an actual difference. Like one is true and one is false. But that for me was life-changing to be able to know the difference between those two and be able to gain tools. And that's what the book focuses on, is like, here are 10 tools for how you can actually clear away the false identity in the moment. And here are 10 tools to be able to empower your true identity. And there are things we have to repeat, right? Like it's not a once and done thing, but being able to have, first of all, the knowledge of, oh, this isn't who I really am. This is my false self. I don't want to be my false self right now, and have tools to clear it, and then tools to empower showing up as your true best self, I think is an amazing resource to be able to have that.
Yes, go to check out the book. I'm loving it. It's a book I'm actually going to be adding to my book list because I love it so much. So thank you so much, Brooke, for being on and sharing your time and your talents and teaching us all about floors and ceilings.
No problem. Excited to do so. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.